We are joined now by Lena Choi. She's a Senior Vice President at Moody's Investors Service to talk about the outlook for China's non-financial companies. And Lena, I know that you are closely watching credit conditions in China. Can you outline for us some of the challenges there?
Thank you, and good morning. Thanks for having us. We definitely think that the credit conditions for non-financial Chinese companies are going to be negative looking out into next year. And that's a result of both domestic challenges continue to be present, as well as some external risks also intensify. Let's start with some of the internal pressures. Property sector downturn will continue to have negative effect on the supply chain along property sectors, associated sectors, and depress and weaken demand in a way. And also, more importantly, the funding conditions for developers and with contagion to the broader high-yield space is somewhat concerning as well. So that's on the domestic front. Externally, we are also seeing, because of the aggressive rate hikes in a number of developed economies, slowing global growth, that would lower the demand for China exports, of course. And also, you know, ongoing geopolitical tensions potentially reduce capital inflow. And last but not least, you know, the lingering supply chain bottlenecks as a result of the ongoing COVID issues are probably going to raise costs, input costs primarily, across many different sectors.
Lena, you're laying out a pretty bearish case there. Can we talk about the risk of default? Is that something that you want to address?
Actually, we do, and especially on the property front, I think you have also heard from my colleagues in the property team in the last couple of days that definitely we are worried about the funding conditions. Just to give you a sense, you know, the broader rated high yield space next year, we are looking at $60 billion of maturity coming up for the rated portfolio high yield space. And a majority of that is actually offshore maturity. So yes, you know, we are still quite concerned about the funding condition being very tight, and we cannot exclude, you know, probably continuation of some defaults for financially weak developers and high yield companies.
We did have a support package for the property sector, as you well know, the 16-point plan. Developers can access more money from pre-home sales. But I'm getting the feeling you feel that this doesn't really address the underlying problems in China's property sector.
You know, we definitely think the most recent support packages targeted to alleviate the liquidity pressure of developers, the financially weak developers in China, and also to prevent to a greater extent incomplete of the projects kind of risk. Those targeted measures, we think it's credit positive, but however, it will probably take some time, for us to monitor how well this can be executed and whether it can sustainably revive contracted sales, which Moody's still forecast to decline by 10 to 15% for next year.
So away from the kind of the central government, if you look at what the central bank can do, I mean, is there a way for the PBOC, is there a situation that you can envision where maybe policy is tweaked to the extent that it can relieve some of the stresses that are building, or is that clearly an impossibility at this point? I mean, that it's too entrenched, a lot of the risk that you have outlined.
In Moody's base case, that underlies the negative credit conditions on non-financial companies, we are not assuming, you know, aggressive monetary or fiscal easing. We don't think that's likely. And so far, we have not seen that kind of aggressive easing per se. You know, we'll just have to monitor how the situation goes.
You can't do charts on radio, obviously, but we did have an interesting Bloomberg chart out today. It shows the China credit impulse, and it is a good leading indicator of earnings trends. Now, that chart shows that China is about to enter a cyclical bull market. Can we trust that sort of reading?
I'm probably not the best person to take a, you know, charting or interest rate direction question. But as I said, on the earnings front, we do see some bifurcation for the rated portfolio. First, we see the SOE, state-owned enterprises, you know, credit differentiation in favor of the SOEs because of their strong market position, because of their more diversified and better onshore funding access. We do expect their earnings to stay stable. And leverage also to stay stable. On the privately owned company side, obviously we have spoken about the property developers. They are going to be still in a pretty tight and difficult situation. But some of these rated, you know, IG-rated market leaders in some of the private sectors, like food and beverage, for example, we do expect them to stay relatively steadier compared to peers.
So I'm listening to you and I'm wondering what the credit default swap market is like in China, because if I'm an investor in fixed income, given everything that you've laid out, I want an insurance policy. How developed is the CDS market on the mainland?
You probably have to talk to our, you know, our resident experts on the structured finance front. That's really not my expertise area.
Okay. So if you had to hedge, if you were advising a client very quickly, Lena, is there a way to hedge against some downside risk?
We cannot advise on hedging or positions, and we don't make comments on trading policies per se. But what I can say on the credit side, I think definitely pockets of ongoing monitoring, close monitoring, would be the liquidity conditions for the high yield space.
Okay, so that's the leading indicator. And if things go negative on that front, avoid at all cost. Can I say that much safely? I just did. I hope you agree with me. Lena, thank you so much for being with us. Lena Choi is Senior VP at Moody's Investor Service, joining us on Daybreak Asia.